Chapter 2. 10 minutes later, Lord Arthur ran out of Bentinck House. His face was white with terror, and his eyes were wild with pain. He didn't see or hear anything. The night was very cold, but his hands were hot with fever, and his forehead burned like fire. He walked blindly through the city. It almost looked as though he were drunk. A policeman looked curiously at him as he passed. A beggar who approached him to ask for money became frightened when he recognized misery greater than his own in Lord Arthur's eyes. At one point, Lord Arthur stopped under a lamp and looked at his hands. He thought he could already detect the stain of blood on them. A faint cry emerged from his trembling lips. Murder. That is what the palm reader had seen there. Murder. The night seemed to know it. The wind seemed to scream it into his ears. The dark corners of the streets were full of it. First he came to the park. He leaned against the railings and cooled his forehead against the wet metal. He listened to the tremulous silence of the trees. Murder! Murder! He kept repeating. The sound of his own voice made him shake. He felt an insane desire to stop someone on the street and tell him everything. He walked across Oxford Street into narrow, dark streets. Two women with painted faces laughed at him as he passed them. From a dark patio came the sound of curses and blows, followed by screams. He saw children sitting on a doorstep, born to a life of poverty and misery. He walked quickly in the direction of Portland Place. Now and then he looked around, as though he feared he was being followed. Two men stood at the corner of Rich Street. They were reading a sign on the wall. A strange feeling of curiosity entered him, and he approached them. As he came near, the word murder, printed in black letters, caught his attention. He froze and blushed. The sign offered a reward for any information that would facilitate the arrest of a man of medium height, between 30 and 40 years of age, with a black coat and a scar on his right cheek. He read the sign repeatedly. He wondered if the man would be captured. How had he been scarred? Perhaps one day his name would also be on the walls of London. One day, perhaps, money would also be offered for his capture. The thought made him sick with horror. He turned and hurried into the night. He hardly knew where he went. He had a vague impression of walking through a labyrinth of sordid houses. It was bright dawn when he found himself at last in Piccadilly Circus. There was something in the dawn's delicate loveliness that seemed inexpressibly pathetic to him. He thought of all the days that begin in beauty and finish with storms. By the time he reached his home in Belgrave Square, the sky was a light blue, and the birds were beginning to sing in the gardens.